Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 18, we were talking about the thought process that Saul was using to try and kill David. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
It kind of reminds you of Daniel, doesn't it? When they tried to find fault with him, they couldn't. They said, well, let's do this. Let's make a law that anybody that prays to any god besides the king, Darius, that he'll be put to death, thrown in the lion's den. Daniel prays to God every day three times. And so it's no exception. Just because the law was passed, he does what is right. He's cast in the lion's den, but God protects him. Now, King Saul says, you know what? To get 100 foreskins, they'll kill him. I mean, it's one thing to fight in war, but to go and get 100 foreskins, they will kill him. Again, Saul is going to the carnal thinking. But David walks with God. You know, that's our protection. Actually, Saul has a good idea if he's trying to kill somebody and not make it look like he's at fault. Very strong idea. And it's greater than our imaginations. It's greater than our devisings. But when you walk with God, then God walks with you, then it doesn't matter if it's 10,000, they flee. And so we see this happening with David. And so it says in verse 26, and his servants told David these words, and it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law. And the days were not expired, wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins and gave them in full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. Oh, I'd like to get the picture of Saul's face when he brings in 200 foreskin of the Philistines. And thinking, oh, I didn't think he'd make it. And then, since he's made all these statements in front of his people, he says, Michal, you got your wish. David's your husband now. So verse 28 says, and Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. All of this brought Saul to that understanding. He didn't see it before, but now he sees it clearly. And maybe he's kind of really upset now because he realizes that he was just a pawn in God's hand by using a weapon of Michal, became the weapon of the Lord, you know. And things just really worked out that way, and he sees it. But instead of saying, this is God's man, he makes other decisions to try to kill him because he has now been overcome by those devil spirits, because he wrestled not against those spirits, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Instead, now he is wrestling against flesh and blood, and that's not the Christian's weaponry. So verse 29 says, and Saul was yet the more afraid of David. There's a spirit of fear. And Saul became David's enemy continually. The spirit of jealousy, the spirit of wrath, the spirit of fear, the spirit of lying, the spirit of deceit are all very active now. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass that after they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. Saul put him in a position to get killed, and that position instead opened the door for David to have an even greater ministry. Isn't that how God works? That is how God's working. God's getting him in position now for all of this. Now, my friend, we go back now, having just covered that, and we look again at verses 3 and 4. In verses 3 and 4, we read this. And Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Jonathan makes a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Even though David was taking the position that Saul had wanted to give to Jonathan. Jonathan is going to lose that position to David. Now we see that Jonathan is a picture or type of Jesus Christ, as every Christian ought to be. And we say, well, how is that? Well, in Isaiah 61:10, we read this, and I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. And we see that this is a type of Jonathan in giving these things to David. In John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants to make a covenant with you because he so loves you. Jesus stripped himself of all heaven's glory. Sometime do yourself a favor and go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and in verse 26 and read the rest of the chapter. And that one that sits on a throne, that the appearance of his countenance from his loins downward and from his loins upward is as fire. And go when you see that and think on it for a little bit and realize that is the pre-incarnate Christ. He was in heaven, and it was the angel's greatest joy just to do his will, to be sent out by him to do anything. He was clothed in all this glory, and he emptied himself. He stripped himself of that clothing to enrich us, as Jonathan gave his clothing, his robe, his garments, his sword, his bow, his girdle. He gave it all to David. And by the way, don't be as the world and try to read something evil or dirty into that. There's nothing dirty or evil here at all that's involved. But Jesus gave his all to enrich us. Jonathan sees David in shepherd's clothing, poor, and I'm sure very malodorous from the sheep. Well, that word malodorous simply means pew-wee. Yeah, okay, that's the best way to describe it. And so he gives it to David in a covenant. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ gave his blood that you and I might have life. Oh, how our sin make us malodorous. Isaiah 64:6 tells us that all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. Listen, let me just read the whole verse to you. But we are all as an unclean thing. He said all of us are. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Jonathan doesn't just give him of the abundance. He gave him personal thing, his own garments, his own sword, his own bow, his own girdle. God so loved us, he gave us his best, his only begotten Son. Again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It costs God something to redeem you from your rags of sin. Do you just give to God of abundance what is convenient? Or is there a real commitment? A soul that is truly knit to God. If you're griping about, oh, the service went too long today, he preached too long, there was just too much music in this service today. You don't come at night, Sunday night, you don't come on Wednesday night, you don't come for revivals or missions or Bible conferences. And you say, well, hey, I feel good about it. I'm at peace with myself. You might be at peace with yourself, but you're not at peace with God. You have laid a standard that is not God's standard. You're not measured by your standard. You're measured by God's standard. And that measures the word of God. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together is a matter of some is. My friend, to not be faithful to your local church where they preach the word as it is to men as they are is to slap God in the face and reject his word and tell him he doesn't know what he's talking about. You say, oh, I'd never do that to God. Then obey him. Obey him, because God sees you as lukewarm when you say, I belong to God, and then you won't be faithful to his house that he's commanded you to do. And in that command, he says to exhort one another, to love one another, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And you think there's something wrong with that. You may have problems with standard preaching. At least you think you do, but the real problem is actually that you've left your first love. The Lord told the pastor, and for the church's sake at Ephesus, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art falling, and repent. God calls it sin. Repent and do the first works, or else I'll come upon thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Have you ever heard the new Christian? They come to church and they wonder, why don't we have church every night? They just can't wait to get back to every service. But in time, that kind of wears off. And now it's almost as if church is a duty like carrying out the garbage. Well, you can't let the garbage build up in the house. Got to carry it out. Hate it. Don't want to do it. Oh, my friend. You've left your first love. Isn't it interesting in chapter 17 that Saul tried to give David his clothes to wear, but they didn't fit. That they nearly swallowed him up. The God and King of this world will give you his clothes of fun, fast living, and the so-called finer things of life with all of its frills, thrills, and emotions.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.